Good morning. Let's take our hymnals this morning and turn to 704, It Is Well With My Soul, and sing first, second verse and chorus, third and fourth verse and the chorus.
Welcome to week number 5 of our little sermonettes that we've been doing since the church has been canceled. If you remember, the church has been canceled for the virus, obviously, and we're concerned for the members of our church not to meet and get it at the age of our congregation, as well as we want to be obedient to the government and asked us not to be meeting at this time. We're desiring and hoping that we can meet on May the 3rd, but we'll have to see for directions given here in the next few days and then what we're allowed to do. Remember, this some of the review of some of the sermonettes that we've done so far is what our eyes focused on was the first one. Is it on the circumstances or is it on Christ? The second one we did is what's our purpose? And obviously in 2 Corinthians, our purpose is shown and what we need to be doing. And therefore, we need to prioritize and purify ourselves to be doing that purpose of restoring and bringing people to Christ. The third one, if you remember, is what PPE are we wearing and are we using their PPE correctly as a believer in Ephesians chapter 6. Last week for Easter Sunday, we did the similarities of Easter of 2020 with the first Easter. And if you remember, we saw that some stood up for Christ during the darkest hours, like Joseph of Arimathea. We saw some needed help understanding Scripture and its application to present life, like the two on the road to Emmaus. Some needed a personal encounter with Christ, and we have some today that need a personal encounter with Christ, and like Thomas did, he wouldn't take the word or the witness of other people. And some will have a life-changing experience, like Simon of Cyrene, when he was asked to carry the cross and caused him to come to Passover, but not to have his sins covered, but meet his Savior, and he then saw it with the influence that he had on his sons. Today, I've been thinking a lot this last week or two. We've been hearing a lot about a lot of attention and appreciation been giving to our first responders, the doctors, the nurses, the police, the firemen, the horn honking at shift changes, the TV, radio, and print recognition and appreciation. And we have many first responders in the church or related to church members. And it's caused me to think about some of these first responders and some of the first responders, or I call them first responders in Scripture. Thinking of the first part, just the first responders and how we can help. I was reading a letter this last week. It's from Dr. McKinney. He's a doctor in Honduras. And he was talking about one of his patients that he's known for 15 years. He was a teenager when he first met him, and he's a young man, 30 years of age, and married, has a couple of kids, and in construction down in Honduras, and he was working on a roof and fell, and he is paralyzed from the waist down, having broken his back. And Dr. McKinney has done all he can for him, and he now is asking for prayer. He's done his part, and he's getting, I think, both Milo as well as Dr. McKinney are asking that God, often in Scripture, if we recall, with the when they friends cut the hole in the roof and allowed their paralytic friend down into the room for Christ. Christ healed him. If you remember, he said he healed him because of the faith of his friends, not his personal faith. And I think that's what's happening here with Dr. McKinney and so on. As a doctor, you understand so much of what's going on, and sometimes your faith can be lacking, just like with all of us. It's happening in all of our lives at times, and we need the prayer of other people to help us, to get us through in the midst of it. And so I think of the first responders. I think what happens with them, they've done their part. They're out there on the front lines. They're doing everything they can with this COVID virus, as your firemen and all the rest, but they need our prayers as well. The doctors can do their part, but when they're on ventilators and everything, we need to be praying for these people, the ones we know, and as well as for the first responders and just for their protection. The second thing I think we can do for the first responders, I think, is that of just of understanding. If we think about walking a mile in their shoes, just the fear that they have coming home to little ones. I know of one, a cousin, a doctor. You go to work and you work every day and you work, come home, and then you have a little newborn, and you're afraid of passing it on to them. And so when you're around them, you can, you know, walk in a mile in their shoes, and you can understand why they want you to wear a mask, or why they want the gloves, or why they don't want you to visit personally. And so I think when we're thinking about them and the first responders and how we can help them, just to pray for them, and then also just to walk a mile in their shoes and seek to understand perhaps some of their decisions or what's going on. And then the third thing, I think, with the first responders, what we can do to help them and is that of appreciation. And I think there's so many people that we have on that team of the first responders. We often think of just the doctors or the nurses, but there's so many others that are on the teams. Whether your firemen or anyone else, is what about the one who took the call that came in for the fire, or for the ambulance driver, or the paramedic, or the directions to get to your house, or all those things, or so many, or the truck drivers delivering those things. So I think thinking about the understanding that we have and then the appreciation that we have for all of them. It takes all of them, and the truck drivers that are now getting the recognition they have needed and deserved in our country for so many years, all the food they're delivering and all the different things that they go through. And so I think it's our first responders, how we can help them then is obviously to pray for them and seriously pray, and we know them personally to do that, understanding, to really seek to walk in their shoes, and then to appreciate them. And a lot of you know here at church, Max come and spoke a few times, and here he's over the day place for the homeless that come and the hundreds that come every day. And just for his protection and asking for prayer and trying to do the spacing and having to turn people away and just walking in his shoes. How do you tell somebody they can't come or what to do? So, and his protection. So just the thought, who needs my prayer today? Who can I pray for today? Whether it be Mac or right now we have Kay in ICU, and to be praying for her and for Becky and Keith and Tommy and all of them. But then how can I show my appreciation, too, also for the first responders, whether it's a sign or what it might be. It's just there's always something that we can do. So thinking about the first responders, how we can help them. And there's a lot of things that we can do. I've been working in Jinx for 25 years on Saturday and going to a little local restaurant, and I called in an order because you can't go in. And the owner's down to just himself and 70 years of age and really struggling just to try to put food on the table for his family. And known him a long time. Like I said, I've gone in there for 25 years. While I was standing there, I heard him answer the phone, and a person called in and said, I've lost my job and my family, I can't feed them. Could you feed us a meal? And I never forget the owner standing right there, says, come on in. And while I got mine and left eating in the truck, the family drives up, and out of his own pocket, he feeds them. And even though he is not making any money and not doing well himself, he still was feeding them. And when I asked him about it, I said, how do we know if it's really legitimate or not? And he pointed up towards heaven, and he said, he knows. And so I think a lot of it was, how can we can help? There's little things we can do, whether it's feeding somebody or what it might be, helping the first responder, paying for their meal, whatever it might be. So the first part of the question on the first responder, how we can help, I think through prayer, trying to be understanding during the difficult times. And it's very easy for us to second guess on the how we've been doing things as a nation when more information comes out, but to realize they're doing the best they can with the information they're given, and then appreciate those people on the front lines and risking their lives every single day. The second part of the question I asked was, what can we learn from the Bible about what I call first responders? And since it's just a sermonette, we won't go into a lot of detail, but we know the characters well. So I want us to think about these characters that I mentioned in the Bible and just a couple of things about each of their lives. First one I was thinking of is that of Joseph in Genesis 37 to 50, where the life is mentioned. We know the story well, that he was the 11th of 12 children that was born. He was not liked by his brothers because the report and the favoritism that his father showed him. And then how his brothers then take him and sell him into slavery, and he then ends up in Egypt, and how then he's at Potiphar's house, and he rises, and then is put in jail again, and then he interprets the dreams for the cupbearer and the baker, and you see him doing that, and then they forget about him, and then you finally have the dream of Pharaoh. And how he interprets the dream and then rises to second in command, and he interprets the dream, and then we have the famine coming, and obviously beforehand the 7 years of plenty. Well, what's amazing, when I call him the first responder, when you stop and think about it, he saves his family because they come down and obviously he provides food for them, and then they move to Egypt and they are able to be spared. And if you remember in chapter 50 of Genesis in verse 20, when it talks about the after Jacob had died and his brothers are afraid again that Joseph may retaliate, Joseph makes the statement, "You meant it for harm, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result and preserve many people alive." And here it's interesting, Joseph recognizes, although at the time, at certain times of his life, I'm sure he didn't, but he recognizes that God had control and God was using him to preserve many people as a first responder. And so I think something to think about is, how would we respond? But am I willing to spend my life saving others? Joseph did. And do I see God's hand directing my life? Joseph saw God directing his life and why he was there and what he was there for. And it wasn't his place then to try to get even with his brothers. And I think we can learn a lot from Joseph just as a first responder to let things play out, but to realize we have a part in saving other people. The second one, just in order, kind of in Scripture, you stop, and the first responders besides Joseph, I was thinking about would be that of Moses. If you remember in Exodus 1 to 20, roughly, or 17, if you remember the first part, is he has first 40 years of his growing up, and he tries to take matters into his own hands and kills the Egyptian. Then he's 40 years of training in the wilderness, if you recall. And then God then calls him then to lead the nation out of Egypt, and you have the 10 plagues that God uses Moses to bring upon Egypt. And then you have him leading him in the wilderness. And while he's leading him in the wilderness, obviously the 10 times that Israel rebels, and then finally God says they can't go into the promised land. But it makes me think about him here. He's the first responder. He is going down there to save the nation and to be the leader to do so under God's direction. But it's a lifelong commitment. And 40 years of that time was directly, and he was not appreciated, nor was he understood. Things got tougher many times. They wanted to kill him, and yet he was willing to stay the course. And how many of us would be willing to stay the course? And even when the people rebelled after the 10th time and they weren't allowed to enter the promised land, Moses stayed there with them during that time, and that's when he went about and wrote the first 5 books of the Old Testament for them, for the direction and help that they would need. So even when they were idle or waiting, makes me think of the COVID virus and those that don't have it but are exposed, and now you have to be quarantined for 2 weeks. How many of us are using the 2 weeks for something profitable, like Moses used those years to do things that were profitable? Paul, when he used the imprisonment, wrote the Ephesians and Philippians, Colossians, and so on. How many of us are using our confinement to God's glory? So then I think about it, when you think about with Moses, what has God called me to do, and am I keeping the course? So here you have it with Joseph, and then you have also with Moses. The fourth one I was just thinking about was the first responders, would be that of Nehemiah. If you call in Nehemiah, his brother comes and tells him that the walls are falling down and Jerusalem is in disarray. But remember, Nehemiah is a cupbearer and he's located many, many miles away, hundreds of miles away. And what concern is that of his? But you call in chapter 1 and chapter 2, he starts to pray, and he prays for 4 months for God to intercede. And during the 4 months, God gives him kind of a vision of what to do, even though he's not obviously a wall builder, nor has he even seen the wall. But God then gives him the vision, and he gives him the grace in front of the king in chapter 2. And he asks for the right materials, and they start to build. But when you get to chapter 4 through chapter 6, there's 6 different oppositions that he's facing. often when you're doing first responder, doing what you ought to be doing, there's opposition. And even though you, and I think we have to recognize, anytime we're doing the Lord's work or a first responder does it, there's opposition at different times. And so to stay the course like we had with Nehemiah, and even after he finishes and the wall's built, he goes back being a cupbearer. And then later in Nehemiah, you notice he came back and he was governor. So it makes me think, just on applying Nehemiah as a first responder to my life, does God desire to change my direction? Maybe I'm doing one thing and he wants me to do something else for a while. Maybe permanently, maybe just temporarily. But am I willing to travel that many miles or do other things to, if that's what God's asking me to do? How many of us are open? We may think we're too old or what it might be. The fourth person that I thought about just in first responders, and obviously we're just trying to keep this to 15 to 20 minutes, would be that of Esther. If you remember in the Esther, in the first two chapters, Vashti is dethroned, and they're looking for a queen, and Esther is then crowned queen in chapter 2. When you get to chapter 3, if you remember, Haman has the decree, and basically, in which they're now going to destroy all the Jews in the kingdom. And so, obviously, the queen would be included, but Mordecai, it's interesting how Mordecai then tells the queen that she needs to do something, and it's interesting in chapter 4 and verse 14, when it says, "Who knew whether you would have attained royalty for such a time as this?" And here he is telling Esther, maybe the whole reason you're queen is so that you can use your influence to save the nation. Quite a thought of a first responder that you have. If you recall, in the time in which Esther lived, you were not allowed, even as his wife, as the queen, you weren't allowed into his presence unless he asked for it and gave the scepter. So if you remember in verse 16 of chapter 4, she asked the whole nation through Mordecai to pray and fast for 3 days. And then she says she'll go before the queen, and before the king, and says, "If I perish, I perish." And it's interesting, she recognizes she's willing to be used as a first responder to go in before the king to try to save her people. And obviously she did, and we have a feast even today that's a celebration of that victory. If you think about it with Esther and just what she's done, am I willing to risk my life for another as a first responder? And obviously our first responders do that on a regular basis. Could this be why God's placed me here? Just like with Esther or like with Joseph, different Moses, all of them had a plan or a purpose that God had for them. So we think about it today and just our first responders. How can I help them? I can help them because I can pray for them. They may be discouraged. They may have done their part and just don't see any way out of the person recovering. But we can pray because God's the great healer and he can go beyond what they can do. But I can also seek to understand during the long hours and just the toughness they have going home, and are they taking the virus home with them, and just the difficulties that they're facing. And then I can show appreciation through a word, buying a meal, whatever it might be, to help them. And then when I look back on the biblical first responders and just what we can learn from them, with Joseph, am I willing to spend my life to save others and looking at God's hand working through my life, even though the difficult times Joseph faced, looking back, he could see God's hand was there and why he allowed him to go through it so that he would be in the proper position when his family needed him. Thinking of Moses and just when he tried to do it on his own, he can't or didn't succeed. But when he relied on God's time, he then was able to lead the people and did exactly what God told him to do. He was able to lead the people out, even amongst the strongest nation of that day. And you and I can do what God's calling us to do if we rely on him and do it in his plan. We recognize we will quite often won't be appreciated, misunderstood, just like Moses was. And I think about, like I said, with Nehemiah, just be open to what God may ask you to do, because he certainly, as a cupbearer, wouldn't be a builder of a wall. But obviously he got it done in 52 days because the people had a mind to work and he was willing to lead them. And with Esther, she was willing to perish, realizing that maybe that's why God allowed her to become to royalty, so she could be a first responder in saving her nation. What does God want us to do today?
Lord, we come to you this morning and thank you for the privilege that we have of living in this great country. We pray for our president and all those that are seeking help for our welfare and for all of the caregivers, of the doctors, nurses, everyone that is diligently seeking day and night for remedies to calm this virus. Thank you, Lord, that we have not had any in our church. We just thank you for this, Lord, and protect each one. Help us, Lord, to live lives that would be pleasing and honoring in your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Cleanse, relieve me.